And welcome into today's audiocast from AvWeb, the world's premier independent aviation news resource. Today's report for Monday, August 6, 2007, is brought to you by Kit Planes Magazine. I'm Mike Blakeney. At EAA AirVenture, a recurring theme was green aircraft engine initiatives from virtually unknown companies. But the larger established engine manufacturers don't plan to miss out on this movement, as AvWeb's Mary Grady found out when she spoke with Lycoming Engines Vice President and General Manager Ian Walsh at the show.
There's different ways of thinking about it. Most people think green means, you know, you're just getting rid of lead or the I think the kind of the very well-known things. But there's different ways of going green. For example, there's by nature of making engines more efficient that will burn less gas. That's a green effort. It's not reducing the emissions per flight hour, but the fact that you're burning less fuel to get where you need to go, that's an approach. And so to start with, you know, Lycoming feels that that is a very significant part. Now, how do you do that? So part of making engines more efficient comes from, again, some basic things in terms of either providing more horsepower so people can get from A to B faster and therefore burn less fuel, but you may be burning more fuel depending on how you operate the engine. But the biggest part of it is what I think is electronic engine controls. And by the nature of having an engine that's electronically controlled, you are by nature eliminating or at least reducing the variability around how that pilot or operator uses the engine. There is no manual leaning, and you could, you know, fly at 15 gallons an hour or 10 or 8 gallons an hour, depending on how good you are at leaning and depending on what devices you have to do it and the experience you have. That's all taken care of in electronics. Starting engines, making that simpler and easier so you're not burning up more gas to start or parts or whatever. Making engines more reliable because you're optimizing the performance of the engine constantly. So that means people aren't breaking engines or having issues with engines. And third dimension is that it's going to retroactively, for us, with electronic controls, we're now able to better collect data on how the engines perform over time and where the true wear and tear is in the parts and performance of all the different aspects and accessories on the engine. So that's a big part of it. So that electronic engine controls is one. Okay, the second effort that we're working on is alternate fuels. Providing solutions for people to fly with different types of fuels is important not only to keep people flying, but to keep the cost of operation down and ownership down. And depending if you're in China or you're in Europe, as everybody knows, avgas is hard to find, and if you can find it, it's very, very expensive. So what allows you to burn on alternate fuels? Well, a couple of things. Electronics, for one. So that's, you can see that's kind of a foundational piece to this. And then working just engineering-wise, research and development-wise, to reconfigure the parts that need to be reconfigured to burn alternate fuels and then certify those engines. Okay, so that's the second piece of it. The third piece of it, which is tied to alternate fuels, is then truly going green, which is now engines that are able to operate without lead. Or you have a diesel fuel solution that's biodiesel, or you're using ethanol now, which everybody knows is around, and cars are starting to migrate that to that approach. It's easily, and I mean easily in a sense, it's doable to provide those types of things into general aviation today. Whereas before, I don't think people really focused on it. And two, it was probably pretty costly to try to figure out those kinds of things. But now with electronics coming into play and some other things. So that's the third thing, kind of going green, getting the lead out of fuels or using biodiesels or using ethanol. And then, you know, a fourth but unique one that we're doing is what we talked about today at our press conference, which is partnering with people like Lindbergh Foundation, who are looking for entrepreneurs, experts, technical people, scientists, professors, anybody who is really trying to work on innovations that are focused on technological advancements, but not at the cost of the environment. Okay, so our joint agreement and partnership with them is another effort. There are other aspects to green, which is noise. You know, noise is a pollution, if you will, and it's becoming very important overseas. In certain countries, in certain places, I mean, they won't even let you fly over urban areas in general aviation. So looking at, you know, now you go from the engine to the operating system of the airplane. So that prop configuration and the engine configuration is a big deal, as well as how the exhaust is configured and the, even the aerodynamics of the airplane. So those are things that we're working on. Systems integration approach, electronics, alternate fuel certification, working to kind of start what we hope is going to be a solid aviation diesel program with the ability with electronics to move into biodiesels and stuff like that.
So what is the status of your biodiesel investigation?
Last year we announced and created in our facility an advanced technology center. So we have an advanced technology center that's focused on a couple of things. The things I just talked about, moving those developments into what we call full go programs, where they're now resourced appropriately, funded appropriately, plans are put in place, and we're moving to execute those. There's another layer above that, which are things that we're looking at, testing, trying to understand better, and biodiesels in that realm. We are, you know, part of a large organization, Textron, and our systems organization that we're immediately a part of has an advanced solutions group, and there's a tremendous amount of capability and resources that we're now able to leverage to help us look at those far-reaching things. And we're not talking about 2 years from now, we're talking about 20 years from now, because part of what Lycoming's new vision is to be, you know, the premier aviation engine company recognized for our products, innovation, and service. And the innovation piece was the one that has been missing for many years. So we're moving very aggressively with our corporate parent and the support that they provide, which is tremendous, as well as our own advanced solutions and advanced technology group to bring those things to market.
Well, if you're looking 20 years down the road, the price of fuel is certainly an incentive just as much as the environmental concern. So do you have any other ideas in the works just to improve your efficiency?
We already have so much right now,
yeah.
But I will say we don't know what we don't know. And okay. Part of what we're doing as a team and as an organization is we have now and have been working on relationships with whether it's experts in the field, engine development firms, engineering firms, universities, that we've had partnerships in the past, but we have new partnerships and new arrangements that we're really trying to leverage their expertise. So we don't know yet. There's a lot of opportunities out there.
Lycoming's Ian Walsh. Get the latest general aviation news from AvWeb as it happens at avweb.com, along with brain teasers, the video of the week, and in case you missed any of it, be sure to catch up on our complete print, audio, and video coverage of EAA AirVenture online now at avweb.com. Comments on this audio cast welcome at audionews@avweb.com. Today's report was brought to you by Kit Planes Magazine, your guide to everything you need to know to build, fly, maintain, and get top performance from your own personal home-built plane, online at kitplanes.com. Look for AvWeb's next audio cast on Friday, August 10th. For the AvWeb Audio News Team, I'm Mike Blakeney. Thanks for listening.